Living water. Yep. Thank you, Janet. This past week, my wife said to me, "Have you heard Nora's new song?" Some of you know Nora. She's almost four. She's one of my grandkids, right? And so she likes to sing. And I said, "Well, what's her song?" And she says, my wife says, "Nora, sing Baba your song." And she starts singing. I mean, she's singing it around the house. She's singing it in the car as I drive her to preschool and stuff. And it goes like this. You're going to recognize it. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Right? Over and over again. Do you know what that means? Gloria in excelsis in the highest Deo God. Glory to God in the highest. I said, "Ha, Nora, that's going to be our hymn of the day that goes with the sermon this Saturday. I'm glad it's one of your favorites. It was first sung by the angels, right? Announcing to the shepherds the birth of our Savior Jesus." We probably recognize the one that was in our liturgy tonight also. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly." You know that song. Or in the with one voice, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest." Right? Gloria in excelsis Deo. That's what it means, that beautiful Christmas carol. Praising God with all of our words and with all of our actions. That's what Advent people do. As we wait for the one who has promised to come to show up again. We wait with hope in our hearts. We wait always expectantly, knowing that the virgin birth takes place as God creates in each of us His only begotten Son, Jesus, through faith. St. Paul ends his letter to the church at Rome with a doxology, a hymn of praise, reminding people of the gospel, because the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, the gospel that we have been immersed into, is the good news that gives us the hope of glory and brings about, Paul says, the obedience of faith. We were created and redeemed to praise the Lord. Christmas doxology, 365 days of the year. Some of you know that I'm a baseball fan, and I've always had a tendency to follow baseball players that are, if you will, followers of Jesus Christ. And one of my favorites years ago was Earl Hershiser. You may recognize that name, a devout follower of Christ. In 1988, he was pitching. He was an ace, a star pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if you remember 1988, then you know that that's the year that the Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series. So after they won the World Series, Johnny Carson had Earl Hershiser on The Tonight Show. And Johnny Carson looks at Earl Hershiser and says, "Now, you must get nervous when you're standing on the mound and you realize that if you throw a bad pitch and someone hits a hit or a home run, one pitch could mean the difference of winning and losing a game. So how in the world do you stay calm and not get rattled? How do you stay focused when every pitch in a game like the World Series, the game is on the line? How do you do that? I mean, there's like 50,000 people in the stands, and there's like millions of people watching on TV. How do you do that?" And Earl Hershiser looked at Johnny Carson and said, "I sing a hymn. I'm a Presbyterian, you know. I sing a hymn on the pitcher's mound that we sing every Sunday in our church." And Johnny Carson was so taken aback, he didn't know what to do. I mean, he was just kind of dumbfounded. And then when he collected himself, he said, Could you sing it for us? And Oral Hershiser said, I'd be glad to. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, that's what amen means. Can you imagine being invited by the host of The Tonight Show, I mean, like Johnny Carson, to proclaim your faith as a follower of Jesus Christ? How was it that you stay calm and collected? You see, the victory that he was celebrating was not simply winning the World Series and having one of those fancy rings. Oral Hershiser, a believer in Jesus Christ, knows that the real victory that overcomes the world is our faith that brings about obedience. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul says to the Romans, is that no one is righteous. All have sinned. And in Adam, all die. The wages of sin is death. But in Christ Jesus, the gospel, the good news, the one that we wait for, in Him there is life. The free gift of God is eternal life for you. Now do you see why there's only one way to end a letter? Not with goodbye, hope to see you soon, but with doxology. With praise the Lord and amen. Yes, may it be so. Now there are some scholars who would say, but you know, Paul probably didn't write those three verses. Three verses, one sentence in Greek, 53 words long. And in some manuscripts, they show up in chapter 14 in different places. But we all know how Paul's letter begins. The gospel is about bringing about the obedience of faith. So why wouldn't it make sense that he would end talking about the same gospel that he began it with? It's canonical. It's scripture. So even if someone added it, it doesn't make it any less the Word of God. And certainly, that's what Paul would want us to do in Advent, in the 12 days of Christmas, throughout Epiphany, as we walk with Christ in Lent, as we travel through the season of Easter and the long season of Pentecost, all the seasons of the church, all the months of the year, we are created and redeemed to praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1 is a creation narrative, but it's a doxological liturgy written by priests to praise the Creator. The book of Psalms has all kinds of hallelujahs, praise the Lord, and the very last conclusion to the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him according to His exceeding greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with lute and harp. Oh, man. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah. Doxology. Or when you get a chance, read Revelation again. Because Revelation, when you get a glimpse into the throne room of Almighty God, where the Lamb who is slain has begun His reign and sitting on the throne, everybody, day and night, 24/7, is doing just one thing in heaven, and we get a little glimpse into the throne room of Almighty God. You know what everybody's doing in heaven? Nonstop? Endlessly? They're worshiping God. So here on earth, we get a chance, if you will, to practice doxology, seeing that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. People of doxology. How can this be? Well, the Lord has His ways. The mystery has been revealed. For 3 weeks, we've been learning about the Lord's Supper, which is a mystery. Jesus says, this is My body, this is My blood. Well, does it taste and smell like flesh and blood? No. Does Jesus say it's just a symbol of his flesh and blood? No. Hoc est corpus meum, right? This is my body. So, it's a mystery. And the mystery's been revealed. Even if we can't comprehend or explain or fully understand it. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings about the obedience of faith. Faith that praises Jesus as Lord and lives obediently to his holy will. God has his ways. You saw in our first lesson for tonight that King David had some plans. He was living in an ivory palace and a cedar palace, and God was in the tabernacle, which was being passed around in the tent of meeting. And David said, this isn't good enough for God. So he goes to his prophet, Nathan, and he says, I'm going to build a house for God. And Nathan was a good yes man who said, yes, man, do whatever pleases you. The Lord is with you. But that night the Lord says, I'm not with him. This isn't my idea. I've been all over the place for a long time, and I haven't asked anybody to build me a fancier place to live in. In fact, remember, God's the one who gave the instructions for the tabernacle. You go and tell David that I am the Lord, and I will do my own building. And not just simply a structure made out of brick and mortar. I'm going to build a house, a dynasty. I'm going to put a king on the throne whose reign will be from everlasting to everlasting. And he shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever and ever and ever. You know that song, Messiah, Handel, right? That's what God promises. He's going to build a house, and when he's ready, in the fullness of time, God's dwelling place is going to be in the womb of a virgin. God builds his own houses. And by his grace, you and I now are temples of the Holy Spirit, dwelling places of Almighty God, made holy by his presence. God has his ways. The mystery has been revealed. The cat's out of the bag. You can't put a lid on it. The gospel has to be proclaimed. His mysterious ways. Like, for example, Sandy and Jerry. Sandy and Jerry had been married for 7 years. They got married when Sandy was 35 years old. Sandy has been a lifelong middle school teacher. She loves kids. So when she got married, the first thing she wanted to do was have kids, have a family, lots of kids. But after 7 years of trying, she couldn't have any kids. And she and her husband were devout followers of Christ, and they prayed, and they kept asking God for a sign that would show them, what is it that you want? Our purpose, direction. And then she went to her gynecologist, and the report was that she had the inability to ovulate and wouldn't have kids. They said, well, we could try in vitro fertilization, but that would be less than a 5% chance. They tried it, no luck. And so here they were going to church. Jerry and Sandy were driving to church, and as they're driving, Sandy's looking out the window and once again finding herself praying and saying, Lord, can't you give me a sign? She looked in the back seat, no car seat, no infant there. Maybe God didn't want her to have kids. Now they were pulling into the parking lot. The parking lot was almost full. And so Jerry decided to take a right, because then when the service was over, they'd be closer to the exit and they could get out with all the without all the traffic being jammed up. But there was a parking attendant there, and he waved him right. Rather than right, he waved him to the left. And so Jerry says, well, I got to go the way he's telling me to go. So he starts going there, and then when he gets up to the next row, he starts to head right again. And the parking attendant catches him at the end and says, no, left. Eventually, they end up right outside the main front door, and they know that they're not supposed to be over there because that's where the sign says handicap parking. And it was Sandy who said, I don't think we can park here. And her husband said, do you see what the sign says right here? The space right next to the door? The sign said, for expectant mothers only. 9 months to the date, a little girl was born to Jerry and to Sandy. His mysterious ways. God takes care of things in his own time, in his own way, and the gospel is proclaimed to bring about the obedience of faith. We don't have to understand or explain everything. We can just simply receive what is revealed. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came to a virgin by the name of Mary. In the sixth month, it's like starting in the middle of a story or a book, isn't it? So we got to go back. And suddenly then we get at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke and we find out what happened 6 months earlier. Well, 6 months earlier, there was this podunk priest named Zechariah who was old, ancient, and his wife was old, past menopause, and they never had any kids. And the angel Gabriel is sent by God to reveal something to Zechariah, that he and his wife are going to have a child of promise, John. The name means God is gracious, and he'll be the forerunner of the Messiah. And Zechariah goes, I mean, how in the world could this be? Well, the Lord has his ways. And he gets a sign. You're not going to be able to talk for 9 months until this baby is born. And so in the sixth month, that means Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant and little John is a six-month fetus in her womb. In the sixth month, God sends the angel Gabriel to Mary, a virgin, a teenager, who is betrothed, legally engaged to Joseph, who is of the house of David. Oh my gosh. We know the house of David. We know the promises made in 2 Samuel that God was going to put a king on the throne whose reign would be forever. God has his time. God has his ways. And so God is unfolding all of his holy purposes. Don't be afraid. That's what Gabriel said to Zechariah. Don't be afraid. That's what Gabriel said to Mary. Don't be afraid. That's what the angel said to the shepherds who are watching their sheep in the fields by night. How can this be, Mary says? And Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the child that is born in your womb will be holy, the Son of God. And God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign forever and ever. Right? Or, Gloria in excelsis Deo. I mean, what else can you do? Mary can't understand it, but she simply surrenders to what's been revealed, the mystery, and says, let it be according to your word. The word of God. Luther said that was the greatest miracle, not the Immaculate Conception, not the virgin birth. Faith that Mary believed, that you believe. That's the mystery revealed. That's the miracle that the gospel has somehow found habitation in the womb of your heart, and that you believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. God in the flesh, who takes away the sins of the world, who reconciles us with our Creator God, and gives us eternity. Eternity to praise God. Doxology is our story. And God invites us to sing praises. Not just when the times are sweet and good, but even when we don't understand, and when what we carry is heavy. Like an old couple having a baby? What are the neighbors going to think? Like a virgin who's betrothed and who says, but I haven't had sexual relations. We haven't consummated the contract yet. Well, God has his ways. And faith says, I believe. I trust that somehow God, who has never failed me in the past, isn't going to fail me now. And so we join the angels, the heavenly hosts. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.